All right, welcome. This is the Lock on Everything with your host, Brian Locklear. Today, I got a good friend of mine, Brian Williams, with me. And since it is 9/11, I would like to start out by talking about what happened 18 years ago, you know, right at 20 years ago. I remember being in fifth grade, and I was sitting at a lunchroom table and getting breakfast, just got off the school bus, and a guy was telling me, he's like, "So we got bombed." And I was like, "We ain't nobody got bombed. We're America. Who's gonna bomb us?" And he was like, "No, we got bombed." Well, our principal came across the overcom, and he was like, "Y'all don't watch the news. Everything's gonna be okay." Well, we went into our classroom. Our teachers acting real, real crazy. They wasn't talking. Some of them looked like they were crying. Well, the day progressed on, and then we went outside for recess, and we come back in, and my English teacher actually had the news on, and we actually watched the last plane strike the building. And unfortunately, my brother was in the building that the plane struck, and it broke the whole class. And from that moment on, I knew that I was eventually going to join the Army. So in fifth grade, I knew that I'd eventually join the Army, which is many of you know I did eventually end up joining. Brian, do you remember anything about that day?
Yeah, I actually remember quite a bit. Not mentioning the fact you just made me sound old. I was actually a senior in high school when it happened, and I was standing in the classroom of the ROTC room.
Okay.
I remember it. We had the TV in there. We had the news on. And I remember my teacher at the time, his name was Major Stevens. He was kind of acting funny too. And by the time I saw it on the news, that's when I saw the last plane hit. At that moment, I don't think I had any friends or classmates that had any friends or family in the building or in the Pentagon either. But I knew I had a long road ahead of me at that point, because maybe a month or two before that, I had decided to enlist in the military, the Marine Corps to be exact. And It was a long journey for me. It was very long for me. That happened September 11th, 2001, and I ended up going. I started boot camp December 16th of 02, and it was still as heavy then as if it had just happened a few days prior. Everybody was still on edge. Everybody was still antsy, anticipating something else happening. So as soon as I got to the fleet at Camp Lejeune, I got put in an anti-terrorist unit and 3-6 kilo to be exact. And we just started training immediately, you know, like all guns, all hands on deck, everything, you name it. And it all was just reflected back from what happened 18 years ago. And I think if you were to ask anybody, anybody would be able to tell you what they were doing, where they were at that given time 18 years ago.
Now, when it happened, did it change your views on joining the Marine Corps, or did it strengthen them?
No, I think I became more gung-ho about it. I was more ready to join and to start fighting the fight. You know, even though I had family and friends, if they weren't telling me not to do it, they were telling me I couldn't make it. And so I had doubters on both ends of the spectrum, and I just wanted to go in there and do my part for my country.
Well, I don't know about you, but when I was watching it, I remember them showing – They panned from the news anchor. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the national ones, like Good Morning America or one of those. And they had panned in to the building, And when they panned in is when people started jumping from the buildings. And those images in my mind since I was probably in the fifth grade, did any of those have any effect on you, or did you even see that?
I saw it, and I couldn't tell you how I would react if something like that were to happen. I don't know. I have too much of a fighting spirit in me, more so now since my military days, but I have a fighting spirit in me, so it's really hard to say what I would do in a situation like that.
Yeah, now, I know you're a little older than I am, and one of the things that I remember, that I wouldn't say would necessarily be bad, but one thing that I remember is how fast everyone asked God for help, how everyone was all of suddenly open to praying. Everybody all suddenly was great to be an American. They wanted to stick together as a country. And it's crazy to me in the last almost 20 years how we've shifted from September 12th of 2001, when the smoke had cleared enough that everybody started bringing out their signs, everybody started getting in the streets, everything started happening.
It is funny you say that because that is such a true statement. And in situations like that, we always hear the phrase, "May we never forget, may we never forget." And to an extent, we have not. But on the other hand, to an extent, we have. We have not forgot the people who sacrificed their lives. We have not forgot the people who died, in New York, at the Pentagon. We have not forgotten the military men and women who sacrificed their lives. We have not forgot any of those people. However, I feel like we have forgotten God, because in a situation like that, we were so quickly to call on God. But then just a few years ago, our president at the time got up and made an address that we were no longer a God nation or a nation under God. But yeah, just a few years prior to you making that statement, that is the exact person that we turn to, the Almighty God, to give us strength and to help us through that. So, like I said, to an extent, we have truly forgotten, because if it had not been for God Almighty, I don't think our nation would be where it's at today.
Well, that when I think about it, every time that there is a terrorist attack or grave devastation or what many people call an act of God, as far as earthquake, tsunami, hurricane, things like that, the first thing that people do is like when the terrorist attack happened in France, I remember everybody changed their profile picture to the France, the flag of France. And there's like, we're praying for France, we're praying for France. But before that happens, religion's like the last thing on anybody's subject. But as soon as a natural disaster happens or something significant happens, then all of a sudden it's the first person we go to for a day, 2 days, a couple weeks, and then it's over with. Like, it never happened. And that's one of the things about 9/11 that, really bothers me. And another thing would be, scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or anything like that, every time it comes around this kind of year or this time of the year, you see all kinds of different merchandise talking about we will not forget 9/11, things like that. So what are your thoughts on companies, whether they have good intentions or not, but that use 9/11 as a way to make money?
I do believe there are some companies out there that do that. And then there's some companies that are genuine and true.
what was it, yesterday, I believe. You have companies like Nineline, you have companies like Grunt Style. They are legit companies that they don't just do it on 9/11. They do it every single day because they don't only use that, may we never forget, for one particular event or one particular day. They use that, I feel like, as their, they may not say it, but they use it in their hearts as their motto every single day because their contributions are always going back to whether it be Wounded Warriors or whether it be some type of veteran or his family or maybe a spouse that lost, you know, someone overseas or whatever the case may be. Now, when you have companies like that, those companies, yeah, they tug at my heartstrings being a veteran myself. And those companies mean a lot to me. And they stand out more than anybody else. Now, I could call out a company that was just, I think, did it for publicity.
Remember this
about a month or so ago. But they stuck their tail between their legs and they backed down. So that lets you know a company's true colors. And when something like that arises, you're going to get what's coming to you. And the backlash that that particular company got, they truly deserve it. And they deserve a whole lot more, too.
Well, let me ask you this.
So for companies that use 9/11 as a marketing strategy, I hope you get what's coming to you because you're cold-hearted and you don't deserve to be in business and you need to change your mentality and you need to change your way of thinking. Because if it was you or one of your family members in that situation, I'm sure your mentality would be completely different.
So I'm going to hit a touchy subject for you right quick. So I know you pick on me because I call you a conspiracy theorist. And I know you don't like being called that, but my question is, do you believe there is a way to question the events that took place and who was behind it in a way that it doesn't insult the officers of law enforcement, the first responders, the Good Samaritans, or the people that were actually in the buildings that lost their life due to this tragic event?
I do. I really do. And you're right. I am a conspiracy theorist, and I've become a big conspiracy theorist within the past couple of years. And I've done a lot of reading, and I've done a lot of research. And I think that's what our society has become ignorant to, because they only want to listen to, you know, certain networks, you know, without doing any reading or without doing any research on their own. They just want to take a particular party's mouth at face value when the truth be.
George Bush knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen. And if you go back and you look and you research, he was sitting in a classroom reading a book to a class of young kids, and someone walked in and they whispered into his ear exactly what had happened. And if you go and look, because there's a video out there about it, he actually did not stop. He continued reading and conducting what he was doing in that classroom and reading. And if you go back and look at the book that he was reading, coincidentally enough, it's actually pinpointing out the same exact words that was used at 9/11. And one of the examples would be plane. One of the examples would be building. And you've got other words that coincidentally enough actually pinpoint what was going to happen on 9/11.
Okay.
So yes, I believe in my conspiracy theorist's heart, I believe that President Bush knew exactly what was going on before it happened.
All right, so here's what we're doing.
If you cared so much about it beforehand, when they walked in and told you about it, you would have got up and done something about it.
All right, so here's what I'm gonna do. So you know, this is the whole purpose of this podcast is to allow people to chime in and ask questions and say what they want to say and not necessarily be put on blast. Because, you know, today if you say something and a certain party doesn't agree with it, they'll try to have you fired or try to have your business ran in the ground or doing whatever. So going off the conspiracy theory, if anyone has a comment to that, they're more than welcome to send me a message. Let me know what you think, whether Brian's full of it or whether you agree with him or you got more evidence to support it or, you know, whatever your comment is. And Brian, the next time that we have you on here, I'll make sure I put you in the hot seat, all right?
I've been told throughout the years that I am a little crazy. So if somebody comes on and tells me I'm out of my mind, they would not be the first ones to do so.
Well, we've been friends for, what, almost 11 years now?
Yeah,
so, like that. So that means you have to be – you have to have something wrong with you to stick around with me for that long.
I'm glad you said that so I wouldn't have to.
All right, so let's move on to my next question. Probably the most infamous saying to come out of anybody's mouth in the last probably, I don't know, maybe year is some people did some things. What are your thoughts on a particular political person saying that she believes that some people done some things?
You're going to have to help me out on this one. I'm kind of lost right now. Explain.
Okay, so I didn't know if you knew what I was talking about, and I was trying not to put anyone on blast, but there's a certain Democratic congresswoman that stood in front of everyone and said that when talking about 9/11, she said that some people did some things. Instead of saying that we had some Muslim extremists or terrorists kill nearly 3,000 people, she briefly referred to it as some people did some things. Now, to me, that is a slap in the face of not only everyone that died that day, but everyone that was been affected by it, whether it was a bunch of fifth graders like I was that was watching on television, the a bunch of seniors like you were that was deciding if they were going to be the first ones to go fight for this, whether you agree with the war or not, that's a whole different subject. Or if it was the family members and the loved ones of those that had died. I mean, if you think about it, there were women that were pregnant who spouses, boyfriends, baby daddies, whatever you want to call them, died at that instance. And those children, regardless of who was behind the situation, who was behind the events that happened, that would never know their dad because their life was taken. And to say some people into some things.
Is this the same? And because this is your part, I know exactly who you're talking about.
It wasn't.
All four of them, they need to go back to kindergarten, and they just need to quit their jobs tomorrow, hang up their shoes, and just stop talking. Put the microphone in somebody else's mouth, because the more you talk, the dumber you sound, and the more I listen, the dumber I get. And I'm pretty sure that anybody else that listens to those idiotic morons, they probably feel dumber by the second, too. So when you get idiots like that right there, they have no idea about history. They have no idea about their job. They probably I don't even know. I can't even fathom the words. They're just stupid. They're dumb. And they're a waste of oxygen.
Well, I'm pretty sure that our president has let them know exactly what he thought about them. And
when it comes to that, I know our president is not perfect. I know he's not perfect. He says some things that maybe I don't agree with 100%. But when it comes to those, I back that man 100%. And since we brought up the president, might I just make a side note and say he's gotten a little bit better with his hairstyle.
So you're not a big fan of his old hairstyle? You glad?
Orange really wasn't his color.
Is that what it is? Well, you know, it's so
now, I think, but a few months ago, he wasn't pulling off the orange very well.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I noticed that there's a couple times when, you know, it looks like they got a Snapchat filter on them, and then unfortunately, I got to remember that they don't. So, but I mean, you know what? The guy wants what's best for America, and I'm gonna tell you what. Anyone that gives up money to control somebody, or to have control over any kind of government or situation, I mean, I don't even know how someone can have bad, like seriously negative intentions on them. I mean, you was in the Marine Corps, I was in the Army, I was in charge of people as an E3. I made no money doing it, and it sucked. And here you got a multi-billionaire that has no reason, honestly, to be president because he's a billionaire. He could sit in his house doing absolutely nothing, having people wait on him hand and foot.
Listen, he makes money while sitting on the toilet.
Hey, but, you know, he's losing money because he had to step away from his business to be president of the United States of America.
He is a true American. You know,
and
I used to call him the Clinton News Network. Now I just call him the Clown News Network. Because that's what they all are. They're a bunch of clowns. And if you ask them why they dislike Donald Trump so much, the reasons that they give you are the same reasons that they stand up for. The same thing that they say he's against. If you listen to their speeches, they're against it. And he never says anything about it. Donald Trump is a true American, and he's got America's best interests at heart. And I think what really pisses people off about Donald Trump is he's not your regular politician. And
that's one of the things that I find to be the most interesting is a lot of people say that, you know, all your politicians grew up knowing that they was going to be president. And you being a conspiracy theorist, I'm pretty sure you know about the skull and bones and everything like that. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I know about them. And you know for a fact Trump was not branded to be a president.
And, you know, whether it was Obama or Bush or Ford or Carter, whoever it is, whether it's our favorite president or our worst president, it really doesn't matter. Like you said, they were molded into and trained to be the president of the United States because they knew that. And even when they were running for president, they made promises that when they got in office, they did not keep. They sold us a bunch of lies. Obama sold lies. Both Bushes sold lies. Clinton sold lies. But Donald Trump, he has done probably 98% of what he said he was going to do. And that's what irritates people. They thought he was blowing smoke up their butts. They thought he was full of crap until he got in office and he started backing up everything he said he was going to do.
So let me ask you about this. I know we got off the subject of 9/11, but you just brought something to my attention that I wanted to ask, and I'm sure that there's somebody else that has to think like me. I can't be the only one that thinks like this. You remember when the president was running for election and these videos from like 16 years or so ago, however long ago they were, started coming up, like just out of the woodworks. There's all these recordings of the president saying, whether it's the locker room talk or, you know, any of this other stuff. And all of a sudden it started coming up, and I started thinking about it not too long ago, and I was questioning it. Like, these people held on to this for so long. I understand, like, if you send a Facebook message or you send an Instagram post or whatever, you may hold on to it for a few months, you may forget about it. But to have a recording from before social media in a bathroom with a multi-billionaire, and then you hold on to it until he runs for president, it makes me question the intention. Because to me,
They're
that
dirty.
person,
They're
huh?
dirty and they're undermining, and they're willing to do anything it takes to get ahead. And these are people that would run over their own mama with a Greyhound bus.
No, I agree about that. But that's one reason why I want to do this podcast, because you have people that are honestly afraid to be able to speak their mind. As an example, this is a prime example. When I was in the military, I was in under Obama, and I was in under President Trump. And I remember when Obama was president, you had pictures of Obama in people's offices because he was like the hero. And everybody wanted him in their office. Now, when President Trump got elected, it was an act of Congress just to get his presidential photo put up and Obama's taken down. Yet those same people that had a picture of President Obama in their office, basically as their Lord and Savior, refused to either one, put up the picture of President Trump, or two, take down the photo of Obama and replace it with President Trump. And to me, that right there, to be on a level in the military where you refuse to put up the picture of your boss, that says something not only about our country, but the way everybody is and how divided. And
but I'm going to say this. That mentality, what you just described, that's exactly how our church, some of our churches work. Because Obama was that preacher that he scratched your ear. He tickled your ear. He scratched your back. He rubbed your back. He made you, when you come to church on Sunday, he made you feel good. He walked you away feeling good, whereas Donald Trump, he's that preacher. He's going to step on your toes every Sunday. He's going to slap you upside the face. He don't care how you take it, and he's also that preacher that is going to be voted out against the same members that elected him. But the difference is, no matter what the Democratic Party does, they cannot get him out, because the dirt that they try to get on him, it comes back. And it's actually the dirt on them.
And that
does that make any sense of what I'm saying? But the same mentality like that you just described, that is what's in our churches today. And that's why our churches cannot thrive, because our society is just like our churches. All we want is our back scratched, and all we want is our ears tickled. We don't want to hear the truth. It's all fine if you blow smoke up our butts. That's fine, because we know you're not going to go through with it. But the moment you put your foot down and you start preaching truth or telling me the truth or telling me what I don't want to hear, it's time for you to go.
Well,
and
we'll
that's
finish.
Exactly what's going on in our society today.
We'll finish on one more thought, and I want to get your thought on that, then we'll finish. Now, I know that you remember, because it wasn't that long ago that you was a Marine. You know, when the commander-in-chief, whoever it may be, you are not allowed in the military to speak negatively or derogatorily about your commander-in-chief. Now, I spent 8 years under President Obama, and anyone that said anything against him was hemmed up under UCMJ, regardless of what it was, because that was your commander-in-chief, he was your boss, he is the president of the United States, and you work for him. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, when President Trump got elected, regardless of if you like him or you don't like him, it was immediately that everyone bashed him. And if you didn't bash him, then you were isolated from everyone else. And it was okay. Although the regulations didn't change, it was all of a sudden unspoken truth that it was okay to speak down to the commander in chief and everyone that was in your chain of command.
Because that's the way our society is being brought up. This Generation Z, or
name of it is, I really don't know. But that's the way they're being taught. And they're even teaching it in schools to have no respect for authorities. That's why do you think teachers are quitting left and right? Why do you think every time we turn around, teachers are protesting for more money because of the way students are treating the teachers? Because they have, first it starts at home, and they have no respect for their parents because the parents are too busy trying to be their friends, but that's a horse of another color. But they're teaching this society and these kids to like badmouth anybody and everybody because it's all about me and what I want. And if you go against it, I don't care who you are. If you go against what I want, then I'm going to talk bad about you. And I don't care who you are. And again, that's why we're considered a godless nation. Because nobody has the morals and the manners that you and I and our parents were brought up on. Those are long and gone, and they're dead.
Yeah, people don't get beat with switches anymore. I want to thank you for being on my first show, and hopefully we don't get canceled after the first show.
Yeah, and I hope too many people don't call in and badmouth me.
But I hope you.
If I'm your weakest link, then you can go ahead and tell me goodbye.
Well, I hope you. I hope you want to come back.
It was my first time doing it. It was my pleasure. I was a little nervous. I hope I did okay. I hope you liked it. And the people listening, I hope they liked it, and I hope they tune in and they tell their friends and family about it, because I know it's only going to get better from here, whether I'm on here or not.
Well, you're more than welcome, in my opinion, to come on. And if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, you just got to let something off your chest. Send me a message. If you're on the Anchor app, make sure you go on there and leave a voice message. And maybe you'll get lucky enough that I'll play your message on the show. Just say your name and you listen to us and where you're from. All right, Brian, I appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a good night. I'll talk to you later. All right, bye.